This morning, I want to start out by saying, in Jesus' parable regarding the vineyard workers, we learn that salvation is available to all who will come to the Lord, no matter what he has done. Turn with me, if you would, please, to our first scripture reading. Is going to be from the book of Matthew, chapter 20, and verses 1 through 16. And we talk about this parable about the vineyard workers, 1 through 16 in Matthew 20. And it reads here, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you.' And so they went. Again he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day long?' They said to him, 'Because no one hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard also.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first.' Then those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, 'These last men have worked only for about 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day.' But he answered and he said to one of them, 'Friend, I am not doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to this last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first last.'" And I think that's a familiar parable to each and every one of us about the vineyard workers. And what it boils down to is that Jesus, in his mercy, he chooses to treat everyone equally, to treat everyone alike. You know, I've read a story. It was concerning an elderly man. And this elderly man, he was unsure if God would forgive him after a life spent in sin. He regretted his wasted years, but wanted to know if it was too late to return to God. And the answer is that it's never too late so long as we are in this world. It is never too late. But the story that I read, it goes on and says, a young man saw this answer. And the young man said that though he isn't a Christian, that what he wanted to do is spend a life fun in sin, and then when he was old, he'll change and be able to enter heaven. You know, it's interesting to me how people only see what they expect to find. Because this young man that was talking about in the story, he didn't see a man who regretted his life in sin, because to the young man, sin was fun, having a good time enjoying himself, living earthly ways. The other thing that the young man didn't see, he didn't see the man concerned that he had waited too long. To the young man, the longer he could stay in sin, the better. That's what the young man thought. The longer I can stay in this, doing the sinful deeds and things that are making me happy, I'm going to be happy. But then I may change. I may change as I get older and change my ways. But I want to point out there are flaws in planning for last minute conversions. Because the question I'm giving to each and every one of you this morning, when is the last minute? When is the last minute? You know, young people typically assume that they will live a long time. I can remember rolling back the clock when I was a young person. I was going to live a long, prosperous life, going to have a good time, all that stuff, before Ann and I were brought into the Lord's family. And I didn't think anything was ever going to happen. Oh, I knew in theory that some die young. But somehow, that just applied to other people. That didn't apply to me. Didn't apply to the people I knew. It did not apply to Dennis. But I've stood up here before, folks, and I've told you, tomorrow is not guaranteed. Let's see what it says in Proverbs 27. Let's go to Proverbs 27 and verse number 1. It reads here, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what day may bring forth." You know, Jesus, he gave us the example of the rich man who was prospering. And if you turn with me to Luke chapter 12, we can read a little bit more about this. This is Luke chapter 12. And we're starting in verse number 16. And once again, this is the parable. Luke 12, starting at verse number 16. "And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you. And now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God." The man was a fool. The man was a fool because he wasn't focused on what mattered. He was not focused on what mattered. You know, it's been said that wicked people tend to die sooner. Going to Proverbs chapter 10, it says a little bit more about that. Proverbs 10 and verse number 27. Proverbs 10, verse 27 reads, "That the fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be shortened." What it boils down to is that violent people get caught up in violence acts. And I'm just going to use the city of Des Moines as an example. Seems like every weekend, something happens in the city of Des Moines. I'm not pointing out certain areas, but I'm going to say Court Avenue. You see this on TV on Monday mornings where there was a shooting and someone died or innocent bystanders were injured. And I've seen that face to face in my years of being in emergency medicine. Innocent bystanders, drive-by shootings, whatever you want to call it, experiencing that. And what is getting to me when they do those reports on the news is the age group. I mean, we got kids killing kids. I don't know how else to put it. You know, when they're like 14, 16, 18 years old, and their victim is like 18, 20, 21, to me, that's still a kid. But they're shooting, taking the life, and it's just violent people get caught up in violence. I hate to say it, but let's face facts. Sinful people are doing stupid things that shorten their lives. Proverbs 21, verse 16. Proverbs 21, verse 16 reads, "A man who wanders from the way of understanding will rest in the assembly of the dead." It says it right there. This life that we're living in, it's not in man's hands. It is not in man's hands. Contrary to popular belief, there are some people who say, "I got control over this." No, you don't have control over this because you don't know about tomorrow. You don't know when your life will end or when God decides to end life here on this earth. You know, we read all sorts of stories. The situation that Mark talked about with regards to Brian's uncle. A week ago, the man was probably okay. And in 1 week, a different story for his family. And the old saying, "Here today, gone tomorrow." You can believe that sometimes. You can believe that. But life is not in man's hands. And that is the point of the parable that Mark read, the scripture reading this morning, of the 10 virgins. The 5 foolish virgins weren't prepared for the Lord's return. And I'm going to go back to Matthew 25. I'm going to reread the whole thing. I'm going to go back to Matthew 25, starting at verse number 1. It reads, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the prudent took oil in flask along with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and they began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, 'Behold, the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the prudent answered, 'No, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later the other virgins also came saying, 'Lord, Lord, open up for us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day or the hour.'" You don't know when the Lord will show up. We have no idea. We've read scripture where it talks about as a thief in the night. But we don't know that for sure. Is he going to come at nighttime? Is he going to come in the middle of the day? Is he going to come in the afternoon? Is he going to come early morning? Is he going to come on a Wednesday? Is he going to come on a Friday? Saturday? Maybe Sunday. No one knows. You just do not know. You know, I want you to notice that they talk about the wicked slave is called a hypocrite. In other words, a person putting on an act. And they talk about this person, he's planning to straighten up later, and he talks to people about doing that, but that can be a fake act, planning to straighten up later. Because how do you repent of what you don't think is wrong? That's what some people in the world think today. How do I repent of what I don't think is wrong? Because I say this because we look at what a person does, not what he claims. And still staying in Matthew, let's go back to Matthew 7 and see what it says there. Matthew 7, starting at verse number 16. It reads here that you will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you know them by their fruits. You know this word repentance that we talk about. Repentance starts with being sorry for what you did. Being sorry for what you did is where it starts. But the question that I have, how can you claim to be sorry for what you set out to do? I know that if I go and gamble my weekly paycheck, yeah, maybe I'll ask for repentance on Sunday when I go to church. Well, you knew what you were going to do because you set out to do it on the Friday night after work. How can you claim to be sorry for what you set out to do? No, repentance is changing your attitude towards sin, not only your attitude, but also your behavior. Because you're saying you're dishonest about sin now, or you plan to be dishonest about sin later. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans 6. We're going to read verses 1 and 2. Romans 6, starting at verse number 1. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? And those are questions. You know, the truth is that the motivation to change isn't there and it likely won't be. What's it say in James 4? Let's go to James 4. Beginning at verse number 4. It talks a little bit more about it. It says, you who commit adultery, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he has made to dwell in us, but he gives us a greater grace. Therefore, it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, you sinners, and purify, cleanse your hands, you sinner, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. You know, the motivation, like I said before, the motivation to change isn't there, and likely it won't be there. And that reminds me of people like a smoker, or a drinker, or a gambler, that they'll say, when you ask them to quit, you know, I can quit anytime. I've heard this before. I can quit anytime, but not now. But I'll prove it later. I'll prove to you later that I can quit. But that word later, it just keeps getting put off. They don't do it. I can quit anytime, but just not right now. Another question I have, does godliness have no value in this life? No value in this life? Because people in this world today, they have the odd notion that being a righteous person is being miserable. Let's go to Psalm 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, and verse number 11. And it reads here that you will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever. That doesn't sound like misery to me, or being miserable. You know, God's laws make life better for each and every one of us by keeping the follower out of serious trouble. God's laws, they're for our good. They are for our good. God's law, we see good in life when we follow God's law. Let's go to Psalms 34. Psalms 34, and starting at verse number 11. It reads, "Come, ye children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves lengths of days that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." God's law, you see the good in life. Also, by following God's laws, you have a long, peaceful life. You have a long, peaceful life. And profitable for all things in this life, and more importantly, the one to come. Let's go to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy and chapter 4, verse number 8. It reads here that for bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Folks, God, he watches over all of his people. He truly does. Because in Psalms 37, we're at Psalms 37, verse number 25. Psalm 37, verse 25, it says, "I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging bread." And that's because God watches over his people. You know, I think all of you probably remember the story about the farmer and the seed. Let's go to Galatians 6 and see what it says there. This is the farmer and the seed, Galatians 6, starting at verse number 7. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." You get back what you plant. You get back what you plant. Hosea 8. Let's check that out here, because this goes along with the farmer and seed. Hosea 8, verse number 7. "For they sow the wind, and they reap the whirlwind. The standing grain has no heads, it yields no grain. Should it yield, strangers would swallow it up." That indicates to me that you're going to get back more than what you plant by doing that. Spreading the word of the gospel. You get back what you plant, you get back more than you plant. So in closing this morning, momentary pleasure or lasting joy? I've never, ever met a person who regrets that he didn't get drunk more often. Never. Or got stoned one more time. Or lost more money gambling. I've never met a person that regrets that. But I want to look at the example of Moses. And that's in Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, we're starting at verse number 24. "By faith Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is unseen." And also, this thing that we're talking about, righteousness. Righteousness is for the young, not for when I am old, then I'll be good. And the final scripture reading today is going to come from Ecclesiastes. Chapter 11, and verse number 9. Reads right here, "Rejoice, young man, during your childhood, and let your heart be pleasant during the days of young manhood. And follow the impulses of your heart and the desires of your eyes. Yet know that God will bring you to judgment for all these things." And then let's go down to chapter 12 and verse number 1. It says, "Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before those evil days come and the years draw near when you will say, I have no delight in them." Like I said before this morning, the time that God gives to each and every one of us is limited. We all slowly but surely will approach the time when we depart from this life. And what we leave behind is going to be our friends, our family, our neighbors, our jobs, our records. But what we turn in as our final report will be based upon the eternal destination to be determined. And I urge that each and every one of you make your calling and make that sure. Make it what the Lord has revealed to each and every one of us. So, if there are people in the audience that are not a Christian, would like to become one, we have everything ready for you. Because you have to follow the words of the Lord. From Matthew 17, verse 5, it says, "Hear Jesus. To believe Jesus is the Son of God." Those sins that we've been talking about this morning, you need to repent of those, both physically and mentally. You need to repent of those sins. Confess Jesus. Be baptized, fully immersed in water, and restored as a new person when you come up out of the water. And last but certainly not least, to be faithful always. Not just on Wednesday nights, just not on Sunday mornings. Be faithful always. So, if there are people in the audience today that would like to become a Christian, we got everything ready for you. Or if we have some people in the audience that, you know, it's been a tough week or whatever, and you need the prayers of the saint, we ask that you please come forward and we sing the song of invitation that Mark has selected.